Well, lovely to see you this morning, and it's a great start, isn't it, for September to think afresh of where we're going, what we're doing with our lives, how God is going to use us. Warm welcome to you if it's your very first time, and for those we've not seen you for some time, delighted to see you. And those who went on holiday for week after week after week, we forgive you. No, we're glad that you've had a good time and you've been blessed mightily by God. You'll never forget this sermon. Famous last words. But has anybody got any old rags here today, please? Any United shirts or... Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's great. Oh, wow. Just what I needed for this talk. You see, rags. Yes, some of it very important. That looks like a quilt. What have you done? No United shirt. Oh. Anybody got any rope? Some strong rope? We've got some soft rags. We could do with some rope here today. That would be very helpful. Anybody? You didn't bring rope with you. What kind of a church are you? You can push it a little bit there. Oh, thank you. Just lift it high. Let everybody see it. Higher, higher. If anybody's car breaks down later on, you're sorted. Okay, so if you can place it on there so people can see it, that's great. Now, that's the title of my talk. Strong rope, soft rags. Okay, it's true. It's from the Bible. There's a guy in the Bible called Ebed-Melech. I call him Ebed-Melech, but how you're supposed to pronounce it is Ed-Bemet. Ed-Bemet-Melech. Where's the English teachers? The Hebrew teachers. His name, Ebed-Melech, it actually means servant king. And if we know the Lord, we are servants of the king. Isn't that great? And there's a fantastic story in the Bible, in the Old Testament, about strong rope and soft rags. I was nearly going to bring a toilet roll with me this morning because Andrex used to advertise with a little puppet. Does anybody remember that advert? What was it? Soft, together. Soft, strong, and long. You know why they don't do that anymore? They've cut some of it off. It's not as long as it used to be. But anyway, the risk he took is the first thing we're going to take a look at. And then the rescue that takes place, which is powerful. And more than a rescue, we see there was a release of the word of God. And then at the end, a reward. Who likes rewards? God gives rewards to those that obey him. Isn't that amazing? So let's dive into this wonderful story. The risk he took. Look at his color for a moment. He was an Ethiopian, this guy. Let me read to you from chapter 38 of Jeremiah and verse 7. Now, Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, so usually people are black, aren't they, from Ethiopia? Have we any Ethiopians? We've got some Eritreans. Not too sure we've got an Ethiopian. Oh, yeah, good to see you Eritreans at the back there. And note the colour of the skin. Beautiful, beautiful. And so, friends, he was black. There's a reason for saying that. This story is about this African official, court official, very important, who lived in Jerusalem and worked in the palace and trusted in God, and he helped the prophet of God to be rescued. And you would perhaps not have expected a black man to be in Jerusalem. They're more olive-skinned, aren't they? But he was there, and he was there to be used by God. Wherever you are, you're there to be used by God. Isn't that important? You might be away from home or your home country or your own town, but you are here to be used by God. So he was a eunuch, but we won't go into that. As part of a minority group, he would really be taking life into his own hands by seeking help from the king. So his colour. Then we see his compassion under this heading of the risk he took. Oh yeah, we've got some words there as well. One word, heard. He heard. Heard. We can hear things but not hear them. You can be listening to this sermon but not taking it in. He didn't mince words with politicians. He just said it, shot from the hip, said it as it was. A vicar spoke for some time, the same sermon, week after week. After 5 weeks, complaints began to come in. Vicar, haven't you got anything new to say? We've heard it all before. Vicar said, no, you haven't. When you put it into practice, then I know you've heard. Amen? Are you listening today? It's a bit like that for Jeremiah. He'd be speaking to the people, they're taking no notice. Speaking, it was like water off a duck's back. And it was no good. We think of the Ukraine at the moment. When it first, the war first happened, we were all horrified. It was terrible. And then we'd hear of an appeal and we'd give to that appeal. But then the cost of the war and the cost of living came along and we began to look at ourselves instead of thinking of others. Are you still praying for the Ukraine? Are you still believing God to bring peace into that land and salvation to his people? So this was the difficulty Jeremiah had. People were just not listening. A challenge. When we hear, do we act? Sometimes one of God's servants, Jeremiah, he used to tell the king the words that God spoke to him, but the king and the people just didn't like it at all. And the princes in particular became angry. They tied him up. He's already a prisoner, but they now put him in a cistern, an empty cistern. It no longer had water in it. They persuaded the king to allow him to put him in a place where he would probably die very soon. False charges came against him. Maybe that's happened to you. They would rather listen to the false, flattering words of the false prophets rather than Jeremiah. Jeremiah, incidentally, had neither a wife or children, and his heart was for God's people. He was sold out to speaking to the people of God. That's where his love was. And yet they treated him with disdain. He was assailed by misrepresentation, bitter persecution, and murderous hate. The place where they put him was an empty cistern. The cistern was used for storing water in that day. It was one of the princes, it belonged to him. But now he's empty, except for some horrid, thick mud. Josephus, the church or the Jewish historian who gives a great report of what happened with Jesus, even though he wasn't a Christian, he reports it. And he talks about the death and resurrection of Jesus. But in Josephus' words, he was up to his neck in mud. I wonder if anybody feels that's where they are at this moment. We've had a shock. We've had an awful loss, haven't we, with our sister, Aqua, passing into the presence of the Lord. For her, it's wonderful because she's with the Lord. But for us and the family who are here this morning, those of the church family, we're left behind in sorrow and grief. And it's like being in a pit for some and feeling that you're never going to get out of it again. Joseph was thrown into a pit by his brothers, and now Jeremiah is thrown into a cistern by royalty. Poor Jeremiah was let down into the cistern by strong ropes. And very soon he would get weaker and weaker and die. But Ebed-Melech heard. He heard what the cruel princes had done, and the good, kind black man was very angry. You won't like me when I'm angry. Don't get me angry. Jesus got angry. Jesus was angry at the money changers in the temple of God, those who had a form of religion but had no power, didn't know God in the way that they said they did. And so he turned the tables upside down. And here, Ebed-Melech heard what the horrible princes had done. Wilberforce hated slavery and never compromised with those who condoned it. He didn't mince words with those who condoned slavery, which has been in the news again. Lord Shaftesbury, I learned about this at school, and I was horrified to hear these big chimneys. The children of 6 years of age were sent up those chimneys until Lord Shaftesbury's reforms came in. Thank God for him. Alan Hewitt, a pastor in Newtown, Mid Wales, was horrified when he saw a Christmas card a few years ago. That was blasphemous. I won't tell you what it was about. So he told the news agent what he thought. The newspapers got a hold of this, and nationally, that card was banned and was no longer allowed to be printed. Friends, sometimes somebody somewhere has to stand up for righteousness and stand up for against injustice. Sometimes we can be like the king, though, can't we? Unlike the princes. We want to avoid hearing the truth of God's word because it's not what we want to hear. Do we surround ourselves with those who will flatter us? Do we surround ourselves with yes people? And the confrontation under this heading of the risk he took. Some situations are easier to avoid, aren't they? Remember when we were in Cadishead, we led a lovely guy, a milkman, called... Can you guess what the milkman was called? No, Bill. But the thing about Bill was, he'd not spoken to his brother for years, year after year. And I said, why don't you speak to him? He said, well, he never rings me. I said, well, can't you ring him? It takes courage to make the first move. But so great was Ebed-Melech's faith that without hesitation, he approached the king. This is what it says in verse 8. Ebed-Melech went out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, my lord, the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is likely to die from hunger in the place where he is, for there's no more bread in the city. And so, this was so important that he did this. He took a risk, like Esther, Queen Esther, who went to the king. And, you know, going into the king's presence without permission was dangerous. You could lose your life. But for the sake of the Jews, for the sake of her own people, she was willing to take that risk, went into his presence, and the king offered his scepter to her, and she saved a nation. Isn't that fantastic? Would you be willing to take a risk for Jesus? You see, it could have cost him... Ebed-Melech, his job, it could have cost him his position, it could have cost him his head. Someone said, those who never take risks never do anything. Someone else said, faith is spelt R-I-S-K. So he was a brave man, like Nehemiah. Remember the story of Nehemiah? If you don't know it, it's a fantastic... Bible's full of good stories. The best stories in the world are found in the Bible. A primary school teacher told me that. And he wasn't a Christian, he was a Jew. And he was talking about the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. Isn't that interesting? So, he was a brave man. And are you avoiding any situation at the moment? You must face it ASAP. For those who don't know, as soon as possible. Please. It may be today or this week or this month sometime, get that situation sorted. Confront. Is God telling you to take a risk? Though it may cost you something. There's a guy called Rhys Howells, read his biography some time ago. Fantastic man of God who was used in revival. And he prayed about a situation during the war. And through his prayers, tens of thousands of soldiers were saved, which is amazing. And one day God told him, go to such and such a town. He said, Lord, I've got no money. He said, go. So the only way he could get to this town was by train. So he went to the train station, waited in the queue, feeling stupid, with no ticket, with no money. And suddenly, just before the last person to get on the train, said, oh, I can't go here. Could you want my ticket? And his day was rescued, as it were. Are you willing to take risks? Let's see this next thought, the rescue that took place at the king's command and at Ebed-Melech's initiative. Verse 10 says this, then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from here 30 men with you and lift Jeremiah, the prophet, out of the dungeon before he dies. God has a marvelous way of turning things around. Things look like the pits. Things couldn't be worse than they are at the moment for Jeremiah. But through one man taking a risk, things begin to change. His timing, God's timing, is perfect. He makes all things beautiful in his time. But as William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said, I'm always in a hurry, but God's not. We're so activists. We want it today, don't we? We want the answer today. I don't know why our sister has been taken, what seems to us, prematurely. But Jesus was taken at the age of 33. So we never know. Some of us have lost babies before they've had a chance to live. But Jesus knows, and he works out all things together for the good of those that love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Well, the king was a weakling before the princes, again, proves his spineless character. When challenged by his servant, he changes his mind. But God was in it. And I tell you, friends, we in this generation need to challenge our leaders, because it's some stuff that's not right that's been taught to our boys and girls. It's some stuff that is wrong. It's from hell. It's antichrist. And we need to stand up. Someone, somewhere needs to stand up and make a difference. Will you be that person this week, this year, this decade? In Jesus' name. So many leaders are wishy-washy. It's a waste of time protesting, we say. What's the point? Things have got to wax worse. The Bible says that. But the king's command said, raise him out of the dungeon. The risk, friends, was worth taking. Isn't that good? And then we see at Ebed-Melech's initiative, verse 11. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house. It's all right having a word. You've got to act on it. So he went into the house of the king under the treasury and took from there some old clothes. Nobody had given me the United shirt. And some old rags that were there, disused, not being used for anything. Good enough for nothing, really. Maybe the rag and bone man might have collected them and they would be useful to him. But you know, one man's rubbish is another man's. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? But Ebed-Melech uses initiative. This is how we grow, when we use our initiative. Use your initiative. Don't wait for somebody to tell you what to do. Use your initiative. Sometimes we're waiting for a voice from heaven. And God said, use your initiative. Grow up, mature, make a decision today. And he takes what everyone else thought was rubbish and delivers God's man in a thoughtful and gentle way. You see, one act of kindness can go a long, long way. You don't know what you've been doing, how much it's touching other people's lives. You don't know. I came to this church after receiving a word from a guy called Alan Buckley. He was a vicar and he'd become a canon. I think that meant from then on he could shoot his sermons to the people. But I don't know. But fantastic man. And I was making some money in a job in between churches. And he said, Corky, what are you doing? You're called to full-time ministry. Get out there and do it. Wow, it's like a sword. I didn't want to hear that because I was enjoying the money. But anyway, God spoke to me through that servant. Well, I work in the prison. I'll be there this afternoon with a lady called Hillary. She's a Church of England vicar. And she, as we talked, because she lived in Hayfield and I lived in Hadfield, but years apart, but she knew Alan Buckley. And women, a number of years ago, were not really wanted in the Church of England, and some of the vicars didn't like it at all. And she was invited to the fraternal. And for the very first time, Alan Buckley gave her a bunch of flowers just to welcome her. 25 years later, she'd never forgotten that. Just a bunch of flowers. That's all it was. You think giving that thank you card doesn't mean anything. It does. Don't listen to the lie of the devil. Let the Holy Spirit cause that fruit of the Spirit, kindness, to be mature and ripe in your life this week, today, tomorrow, throughout this week. Show acts of kindness to people, even those who don't deserve it. Just love them to bits and God will bless you. One act of kindness goes a long way. It's a picture of grace. There is hope for us all. Not only can God use the jawbone of an ass to defeat a nation, he can use a stick to save 1 million people to cross the Red Sea. I nearly said the Dead Sea then. The Red Sea. and free a people. Isn't that amazing? And here he uses some strong rope and rags, soft rags. He can use you. He can use me. Don't say you're not good enough. Are these old rags good enough? Yes, they are. I might feel like an old rag sometimes. People might tell me I look like an old rag other times. But listen, God can still use this old rag for his glory in Jesus' name. And he can use you as well. So, I remember my brother and I, Linda will remember this. We'd been naughty and we thought we need to make good our escape. What should we do? So we tied some blankets together and jumped out of the window, well, climbed out of the window and escaped the rod, the fury of my mother who used to hit us with a prop. So we never got hit. Ebed-Melech, what a guy. He cares. Verse 12, then Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said to Jeremiah, please put these old clothes and rags under your armpits. Because that's where it hurts, isn't it? You don't see many people with tattoos under their armpits, do you? Interesting. Please put these old clothes and rags under your armpits, under the ropes. And Jeremiah did so. Lovely. Beautiful care. Augustine, the great theologian of the church, was once asked about what does love look like? His answer was, it has hands to help others. We had hands anointed today. It has feet to hasten to the poor and needy. It has eyes to see the misery of those who have little food, little drink and want. It has ears to hear the sighs and the sorrows of men. That is what love looks like. So let us this week go and do what love looks like. Let's look like love to this world that is lost and full of fear and is lonely. And we can show them the compassion and the grace of our God. Verse 13, we see Ebed-Melech's care, I think it is, on this war compromise. What do I put there? Compassion, that's the one. Yeah, what verse? Verse 13. So they pulled Jeremiah up with the ropes and lifted him out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Your acts of kindness this week to the family that are bereaved, friends, your acts of kindness to a church that is bereaved, just one act of kindness can make a big difference in somebody's life today. It can change their demeanor. It can change their situation. Oh, hallelujah. And you can imagine as he was pulled and pulled up and pulled out of this pit by these long, strong ropes and soft rags, he breathed the fresh air. I mean, he'd be soaked in mud. Absolutely. He'd be smelling. He didn't have any Andrex toilet paper down there. You know, it was awful what would happen to him. But he was free. This man was free. He was saved. And thank God, this today, fresh air is better than air, isn't it? You know, the fresh air of God's love is coming to you if you'll just breathe it in and enjoy the presence of God. Then thirdly, we see the release of God's servants. You see, nothing can stifle God's purpose. Release the prophet and you release God's word. Doesn't Paul say, I may be changed, but the word of God is not changed, cannot be changed. Changed, chained, chained. God can close on a lion's mouth, someone said, but the roaring lion cannot close the mouth of God's servant. Jeremiah could have felt low. In fact, Jeremiah was depressed. It's okay sometimes to feel low, friends. He wrote a book called Lamentations. There are psalms that are lamentations, many of them, because sometimes we go through deep waters. We go through rocky patches. We go through tough times, don't we? And as a church, as a family, we're going through a tough time. But God is with us, friends. God can close, can do what no one else can do, but the word of God. But the word, he didn't feel like doing it. He was fed up with the people not listening to him. He never saw revival in his day, Jeremiah. But you know what he said? He said, the word of God is like a fire in my bones. How we need passion like that in the church today. People will preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth of the word of God. That's why we're looking into doctrine over the next 3 months. That's why we're building strong foundations for this church so that you'll be fed on the finest of the wheat. And tell you what, folks, you will grow. And when the storms come, you'll stand firm on the rock and the foundation of God's word, which is truth. You see, sometimes we let situations overwhelm us, don't we? Circumstances get on top of us. I remember pushing a mattress up the stairs in our house, and I got nearly to the top, and then I tripped and I fell all the way down the stairs, and I ended up underneath the mattress, feeling claustrophobic, suffocated, nearly died. Well, I didn't nearly die, but it was horrible. You see, mattresses are for lying on. The mattress isn't supposed to lie on you. Turn it around today. This circumstance we're in, this circumstance you're in as an individual, get on top of it like Jeremiah did, and you will be released to bring the word of God and an act of kindness to someone. Oh, the release of the prophet meant the release of God's word again into the community. The extremes of God's servants from pit, like Joseph and Jeremiah, to palace. God can do it for you. He can do it for me. We have a king's question, Jerry's request, the king's oath, and God's word. Not time to look at all these. But I just want to ask you, are we gagging the prophets of God today by not listening to them and not acting on the word of God that they bring? Let us listen and let us act and do what God tells us. Yeah. Failure to hear God's servants is when we disobey or don't obey God's word. Jeremiah, note, in spite of his affliction, nay, maybe because of his affliction, he's able to bring direction again to the nation. He says this in verse 22. They didn't listen to him, but he still said it. Now behold, all the women who are left in the king's house of Judah shall be surrendered to the king of Babylonian's princes. And those women shall say, "You, your close friends have set upon you and prevailed against you. Your feet have sunk in the mire, and they have turned away again." Wow, I'm glad I wasn't a prophet like Jeremiah to say stuff like that. But friends, stuff like that needs to be said, because the Bible says in Hebrews, in the New Testament, that the father disciplines his children. Just as a father disciplines his children because he loves them, so the father disciplines his children. And it also says in Hebrews, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So let's listen to what God is saying. You see, on that day when Jesus returns, we can't say, well, there's no excuses on that day when Jesus returns. We can't say, well, I heard the word of God, but I didn't obey it because I was tired. I was up to capacity. I was bored. I was depressed. Well, they won't listen to me anyway. They wouldn't listen to me. None of this will stand in the court of our God when we stand before him on the day of judgment. It's gone quiet in here. God can only entrust. You see, so many people are tossed to and fro. That's why we're building the word of God into your lives over the next 3 months. If you can get to the home groups, please get to the home groups. But if you can't get to them, watch it on Hebron's channel and you'll see the teaching there. God can only entrust his word to reliable people. Pass it on to reliable people. Let those reliable people pass it on to other reliable people. Are you reliable? So we can pass stuff on to you for the glory of God, and the word of God will be released. Fourthly and lastly, the reward. Ah, you've been waiting for the reward, haven't you? A word of discipline and a word of deliverance. Let's look at the discipline first, shall we? Let's get that over with. Chapter 39, we have to go to the next chapter to see this. And it says, earlier, while Jeremiah was still in custody in the courtyard of the royal guards, God's message came to him. Go and speak with Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian. Tell him, God of the angel armies, the God of Israel, says, listen carefully. I will do exactly what I said I would do in this city. Bad news, not good news. Wow. Let's be careful, friends. But the word of deliverance, verse 17. When this happens, you will be there to see it. But I'll deliver you on that day of doom. You won't be handed over to those men whom you have good reason to fear. Yes, I'll most certainly save you. You won't be killed. You'll walk out safe and sound because you trusted me. God's decree. Wow. Are you trusting God? Are you listening to God? Are you obeying God? Because that's what life is all about at the end of the day. It was like the Second World War when Hitler and his henchmen took the people from, banded the Jews from house to house and lots of other people and took them to concentration camps. That's what it was like in Jeremiah's day, because they didn't listen. If they'd walked to Babylon, they would have been okay, but they refused to listen. Are you listening to God? Trust in the living God. And meanwhile, go on ministering as Jeremiah did. Let's be like Ebed-Melech and show an act of kindness to someone who is in need. You know, because God saved Jeremiah through a man. And I love this story about strong rope and soft rags, because little acts of kindness will take you into the center of God's will. It says, Jesus said, give a cup of cold water to the prophet in my name, and you'll get the prophet's reward. Okay? Some of you think, well, I'll never get a reward. Yes, you will if you love Jesus. A cup of kindness is all it takes. To close, it's a challenge, really. Too many of us resemble the stone breaker who came into a fortune, a vast estate, but was content to live in the lodge because he'd never read the paperwork. When an old friend came to congratulate him and see over the property, he said, there, it is all in these parchments. And the man said, but I've never been to see for myself what there is. Begin to possess your possessions. You're children of the living God. You have God on your side. You have riches beyond compare. Let's go out there and change this world for Jesus. Let's be salt. Let's be light. But something is important. Another person was thrown into a pit. You might not know this, but when I went to Israel, I learned something that I didn't see in the Bible, but we went to Caiaphas' house, and that is one of the genuine, authentic places that are still around. And in Caiaphas' house, the high priest, the arrest of Jesus was taking place, and there was a hole in the floor. We'd been there. I remember taking my mother, and my mother in tears. She was in bits as she realized Jesus was lowered on a rope into this dungeon underground. And all he did was bring love, healing, deliverance, peace, hope, and joy. But they put him into a dungeon for you and for me because he loved you. He was not rescued. He was lifted out of that with no soft ropes, no strong rope. He had strong ropes, but no soft rags to comfort him. And then he was taken, he was tortured, and he was judged by man. And they nailed him to a cross. But this was the cup of kindness that Jesus didn't want to escape. He wanted, look, Father, if it's your will, save me from this. But it was a cup of kindness Jesus was willing to take because he loves you. He loved the world so much. He loved you so much that God gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Let me close with this challenge. When we hear, do we act? Will you stand against injustice this week, this year? Will you show an act of kindness? It's the kindness of God that leads to our repentance, which is a gift, by the way. Just receive it. You don't know how to become a Christian? Receive the gift. Just receive it and say, thank you, Lord. I'll ask our musicians to come back to sing, play the final song. How can you be used? Oh, yeah, Alpha's starting soon this month. You can be used by serving the team. You could wash the pots. You could lead from the front. You could actually sort out the video because I struggle with those kind of things. That'd be great. Join the Alpha team, not the Eiffel team. And let this beautiful fruit of kindness be tasted in every heart and life. If you've never asked Jesus to be a savior, right now, just say a little prayer. Lord, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to live for you. Come forward if you need prayer this morning. If you need to be released, you need an act of kindness, come forward. Maybe somebody will give you a £5 note. I don't know, but somebody did that the other day, showing an act of kindness to somebody they never see, just showing love and beauty. Thank you, Matthew.